Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Monday, May 25th, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota. It is Memorial Day, Keith. Normally, you would be watching some sort of national championship lacrosse game, hopefully at that game. Unfortunately, there is no lacrosse happening, but we do have sports to talk about. And this week, it was wrestling. We had the head coach of Maryland Wrestling, Alex Clemson, on after his first season in charge. Keith, normally we have a new Maryland coach before the season. Due to different things, we weren't able to get Coach Clemson on before his first season. So I had a unique opportunity to reflect with him about that. And he had some interesting things to say about his guys buying into sort of the new culture they put in, him having to get that program in order, coming in late, got hired kind of late. What were your sort of takeaways from our chat with Coach Clemson?
Yeah, we were saying afterwards, nice we have this extended time with coaches to chat for 30 minutes plus, where you know during the season sometimes we go in there, get our 15 minutes, and everyone else is on there. Which way, because everyone's so busy, during the year, especially getting ready for a season like, a Division I coach is. But, he's building the culture up from the ground up, starting, from scratch in the Big Ten, which is without a doubt the most competitive wrestling conference in the country. It's probably, I might say, the most competitive conference in a sport in college sports. I mean, it is just top to bottom. The most competitive, toughest conference to win in. And then you look at national championships over the past 20 years. I mean, it's a Big Ten school at the top of the podium year after year, top 10 finishes, national champions, you name it. Coach Clemson knew the challenge that was ahead of him coming to Maryland and, is now getting ready to go into year two and just continue to build his team up and bring in talent from something that he mentioned a couple different times, just locking the borders down in the state of Maryland because there are some talented guys that come out of the state in the sport.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're right about the Big Ten, and we've talked about it in our other wrestling-centered episodes of this show throughout the time of Hear the Turtle. It is such a tough conference. You and I have sort of watched that from up close, having worked with the wrestling team on different occasions. And it's just such a grind to have to go against the Penn States and the Iowas and the Ohio States. There's six or seven schools in the Big Ten that want to win the national title in this sport, the team national title. Nebraska wants to win it. Ohio State wants to win it. Iowa wants to win it. Penn State. Rutgers fancies eventually getting to a point where they can compete for something like that and has had individual national champions. Michigan puts a lot of resources into wrestling and wants to be a great team. Northwestern has had a top-ranked recruiting class in the last 5 or 6 years. Wisconsin is fantastic every single year. All of these schools are so, so good. And as you said, we've talked about this with volleyball as well. All of these teams are so good, and there's no let up. There's no gimme wins. There's no time where you can kind of shut it down and get through a win as it is in some of these other sports. And so it's such a different build than some of Maryland's other Olympic sports that came into the Big Ten, like a men's soccer or a women's lacrosse or men's lacrosse. They're kind of the standard bearers or among the standard bearers at the top of the league. In wrestling, the Terps, while having a ton of history, and that should not be looked down upon, a ton of history in the ACC, winning conference championships in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then even as recently as the late 2000s and the early part of this decade, Jimmy Sheptock second at the NCAA championships, Hudson Taylor a three-time All-American, a top 15 team finish. So the potential is there, and the facilities and everything are there. It's just a question of, as you said, having a culture and then getting the talent in there that is willing to go up against the best in the nation week in and week out, or on a duel on a Friday and then a duel on a Sunday. And that's not easy. But as Coach Clemson talks about in this interview, that's what you have to do to be an All-American and win a national championship is you compete in this conference. Now, he comes from Missouri, which I think is one of the sort of disruptors of that Big Ten dominance. Missouri has been around the top of that NCAA podium as well. So he knows what it takes to be there, and having wrestled in Edinburgh, a really, really good school steeped in wrestling tradition, sort of has all the pedigree to compete in this league. But very interesting to listen to him talk about the types of recruits he's looking for, especially recruiting in these such competitive areas of New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Ohio, against all of the best schools in the country. So listening to that, what he's doing during quarantine, he was just coming off moving or helping someone move from a social distance perspective there. So, and as you said, Keith, it's been fun to expand with some of these people. We had it with Modu last week. People just want to talk. So we were able to get these long answers, and you get a lot of insight into Coach Clemson's philosophy and where he wants to take this Maryland program forward. And I started getting fired up, Keith, when he said, hey, 3 or 4 years, we want to have guys on that Friday night looking towards Saturday at the NCAA championships. Wrestling is one of the most, and we talk about it all the time, Keith, one of the most fun sports from an NCAA championships perspective. That thing is electric. To have Terps back in the mix at that would be very, very fun. So let's go into our chat with the head coach of Maryland Wrestling, Alex Clemson.
As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com.
We're back here on Hear the Turtle with the head wrestling coach at Maryland, Alex Clemson. And coach, we didn't have you on before the season. Normally when we have a new head coach, we get them on before their first season. You've now had a year to reflect on that first season. So I'll ask you that question right up the top. What was it like to get the job at Maryland and then go through your first season with your group of guys? Obviously cut short because of everything that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was super exciting to, you know, be a head coach. I spent 12 years of being an assistant and had turned down a couple opportunities at programs that I just didn't think were the right fit or weren't the right school or conference or, you know, whatever. And, you know, I wanted a place where I could check all the boxes. And Maryland gave me that. You know, you get to wrestle in the best conference in America. You get to coach some of the brightest young men in the country. You got to be at a place that's got aspirations to win at a really high level, an AD that's driven to do so. I think so many of the things that you need to be successful were in place here at Maryland. And so it was an awesome opportunity. I didn't have to go to a mid-major. I didn't have to go to a stepping stone. I could go right to a place where I could see myself long-term. And that was important with a young family. Not to, you know, be moving all over the country chasing a career. That's just not really fair to a wife and kids. So it was just really exciting to have this opportunity. And then, you know, the first year was great. I think there's ups and downs and difficult moments, but that's what you sign up for. You know, when you take over a program, there's usually a reason why a change was made. And so I knew I had my work cut out for me, but that was part of the attraction as well, was that I got to really build something and put my stamp on it along with my staff. And I know it was an attractive opportunity for them as well to be able to build something and say, this is ours. This is what we've done. And it's what we've accomplished. And I think I've got, you know, two great guys helping me that, we've got the ball rolling in the right direction, and the kids did a good job of buying in, and we saw some good progress. I think obviously you always want more as a coach when you're competitive. But if you really sit back and look at where the program was 12 months ago to where we are today, I think we're probably right on schedule for where we want to be in this build. So all in all, a pretty good year.
Now, with that said, obviously the season comes to a close in sort of a weird way for all of the wrestling community, not having the wrestling championships, which are such an awesome, they call it Matt Madness, such an awesome event every March. What have you been doing since the beginning of this sort of stay-at-home quarantine stuff to stay busy? Because obviously when you end the season, you sort of, in that way, you won't get to sort of fill that entire itch of the activity. What have you been doing both personally and then also to keep your guys kind of focused on the next steps they need to take as well?
Yeah, on the personal side, at the start of this, you know, this looked a lot different than it does right now. 12 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, you know, we wrestled at the Big Tens, and I think everybody thought, oh, this is, you know, it's going to be a bad flu. Take a couple weeks off school and we'll all be back. And we were supposed to go on spring break, my family back home to Missouri, just to see Lindsay's family and some good friends. And my kid's school decided, hey, they're going to take 2 weeks off. We'll come back. We'll have a week of school. And then our kids would have spring break. Then they were like, no, like 2 days later, they were like, we're not going to have spring break since we're having the 2 weeks off now. We don't want to go to school into July. So Lindsay and I were like, oh, well, let's, you know, we're off 2 weeks. Let's just go to Missouri. We'll go now. We'll isolate with your folks. And they've got a beautiful home on 11 acres. They got plenty of beds, and it'll be great. You know, fun 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks turned into four turned into six. And I was like, all right. And, you know, I love my in-laws, but it's time to get back. So, and my folks, my parents live in Winchester, Virginia. We dumped our dogs with them on Route 81, on Interstate 81 on the way home. And, you know, my mom and dad are like 70. I think they were over having two dogs. And so we decided to come back. And as soon as we got back, my wife was like, hey, I made a list of projects. And I was like, oh, okay. Let me see that list. So I looked at it, and it was actually a really great list. And we did just put a bunch of elbow grease into our house. And, you know, things are just so expensive out here. So we kind of bought a place that needed some TLC. And when we moved last year, right before Labor Day, with recruiting season and the kids starting school, we just didn't have a ton of time to do some of those things. And so we really attacked things, you know, mulch beds and bush removal and tree planting and just you name it. My wife, you know, she put my muscles to work, that's for sure. So we did a bunch of that. And then I got to give my staff a ton of credit. We've turned into one of the best telemarketers. I think, you know, Locks and his guys keep getting all this, you know, love and praise for the recruits they're landing, and they've done a tremendous job. Obviously, I mean, you look at, you know, the signing of, I don't want to murder his name, but,
Tungvaluwa.
Yeah. Tungvaluwa.
Yes.
And then, you know, a couple more of the, you know, commitments that they've gotten, it's crazy impressive, but we've done very similarly, during this period as well. We've picked up two, I'm not supposed to mention too much. We've done a really good job. My staff has done a couple really big verbal commitments out of some really high ranked guys. And, we locked the borders down in one instance. And, I got to give our staff a lot of credit too. We've turned into some pretty good telemarketers and have utilized a lot of FaceTime and Zoom calls with recruits, and their families to, you know, bridge the gap on a relationship standpoint. And then with our guys, you know, the NCAA has put in like all kinds of rules with like monitoring activities and directing activities and stuff. So more than anything, we've just turned into cheerleaders. Just trying to encourage them. We've got a group me where the guys get kind of competitive and they post stuff and the guys can kind of see what each other are doing. And the guys have kind of challenged each other. And we've had some really good team culture kind of develop out of this where, you know, some leadership's kind of come to the forefront and guys are kind of holding each other accountable. And it's been pretty cool to see, to sit back. And then we're going to study a book here. We're going to start not this coming Wednesday, but the following. We're going to do a book study, you know, voluntarily. If the guys want to participate, they can. If they don't, you know, they don't have to, but be something to just to keep our minds sharp and talk about, you know, the direction of the program, what we continue to want to do with the culture moving forward and how we want the locker room to continue to develop. And I'm excited for that. So the guys have all, for the most part, gotten their books and are looking forward to doing it. So we'll start diving into that here in about 10 days. But I, you know, we're itching to get back. You know, our guys, I get probably a text message every couple of days from one of them, like, hey, any insights and any new developments? When do you think? And, you know, then the football and men's basketball voluntary workout started. And the guys were like, well, why not us? And I said, well, they got to start somewhere. And obviously football's the right place to start with it being a fall sport and also the moneymaker. It makes perfect sense to start there. And then, you know, we'll do men's and women's basketball, and then I'm sure we'll roll out more fall sports, and then, you know, we'll go from there. So I'm hopeful that things will continue to progress and people will stay safe, and we'll go about this as soundly as possible. I know the plan that we've got in place with Mr. Evans and Dr. Rooks and all the people that are working really hard behind the scenes on different subcommittees. If any place in the country is doing this right, I know we are. And so I'm fully confident in that plan. And when it's our time, it'll be our time. So,
Coach, you mentioned the recruiting piece there. And obviously that's the foundation of every program is the talent and the individuals you're bringing into your program. What kind of guys are you looking for kind of in the culture you're trying to establish as a new head coach going into year two? You know, what kind of guys are you trying to bring to Maryland?
Well, obviously we want guys first and foremost that can handle the academic load. I mean, Maryland is one of the best public schools in the country. And when you think about schools that offer wrestling, it's, you know, top five public institution. So, you know, we're really cognizant that we want kids that can handle the classwork. Cause if you got guys that are struggling, you know, in their math and their English and their science, and it makes it hard to focus. And when they're in the mat room, so we're looking for true student athletes. But besides that, we're looking for guys that are just competitors. You know, when I watch film, when I break film down, I'm looking, you know, obviously we want to see talent, but talent doesn't always win. You got to have guys that are tough and hard-nosed and wrestle a super high pace and just are willing to fight and scratch and claw for every point. So we're really looking for guys that are kind of have that grittiness to them, that ability to, you know, you watch, you know, a street fight, you know, or a UFC fight, and you see two guys that look like they're on a, you know, two cats on a hot tin roof. I want the kid that looks like that every match, that it's like, that dude just goes and goes and goes. And it's not always pretty, but we can work with that. And so we're looking for ultimate competitors. And then character's a big thing for us. It's not something that we just, oh, you know, character, oh, it's a buzzword. No. I start to hear red flags. I start to see smoke. We just go in a different direction. There's plenty of good kids out there. There's plenty of tough kids out there. There's plenty of people that want an opportunity to go to school like Maryland, wrestle in the Big Ten, that want to do it the right way. We need to find those kids. I don't want partiers. I don't want kids that are putting bad things in their bodies. I don't want people that don't respect authority, that disrespect women. I won't tolerate it. So we want kids that want to do things the right way and live clean. And so those are probably the three biggest things that we're looking for. Academics and that, you know, grittiness, toughness factor, and then, you know, kids that are respectful and clean living.
Obviously the Big Ten is such a big part of the selling point around the program, and obviously some uneven years so far in the conference, but I think you've always looked at it as a selling point in terms of being able to compete against the best week in and week out. That prepares you for all the goals you want in March. How have you sort of sold that to recruits and even come in and given the current guys an increased mentality of having to go out and compete in that conference week in and week out against the best in the country?
Yeah, I'll start with the second part of that, with the current guys. I just said, hey, look, we got to do more work. You guys have to, you know, we have to sacrifice more. So we've got four pillars of our program are faith, sacrifice, accountability, and perseverance. And they're, you know, those words are on the wall in our wrestling room. And those are what we build on. And I said, well, I'm not sure you guys have sacrificed enough. So we're going to work differently. We're going to work smarter, but it's going to be harder. And I think the guys got a sense of that right away last spring and over the summer, what, you know, we asked of them. And of course, you know, during the summer, we can't make it mandatory, but I also told them winning isn't mandatory. And so you guys, you know, you're going to get what you give. And the guys, I got to give them credit. They did a great job of buying in, especially for how late our staff got put in place. We had some really good stuff happen over the summer, and that put us on a good trajectory for the fall. And we're going to continue to ramp up our work as we, you know, understand kind of what it takes, and that the guys see, you know, the increased work doesn't just necessarily mean you're going to win. It means you're going to have an opportunity to win. And it's going to give you an opportunity for your body to take on even more and your mental capacity to grow even further. So we're working through those things with the guys, and they've met the challenge, and they continue to do so. Every time we've kind of really gotten in their craw and crawled up there, you know what, they've done a good job of responding and answering the bell and toeing the line. So I got to give our current guys a lot of credit for that. And in terms of recruiting, it's pretty simple. You know, when you look at the number of national qualifiers, All-Americans, national champs, if that's really what your goal is, then you should wrestle in the Big Ten. So kids that, that understand that, I think that's an easy sell. And then on how we're going to get there, though, it's like, hey, look, every place I've been and every place my staff has been, we've had made an impact and we've won. And we're going to take all the lessons that we've learned collectively at different places, and we're going to put them in position to optimize those things and have our own plan here for success that's even greater. And we're starting to see that with, you know, just the results we've had, the redshirt season we had this year, the first class coming in, and then obviously the early traction we've had in the 21 class. It's going to be a quick turn, you know, in year four, when we've got, you know, 3-4 guys in the quarterfinals and 3-4 guys alive Friday night. People are going to be like, damn, how did that happen? Well, you know, I believed that would happen. I had faith that it would happen. I know what the kids' sacrifices were. I know how accountable we held them. I expected the perseverance to come to fruition. So again, those four words, it's not writing on a wall. That's what we are, and that's who we are, and that's how we're going to get there. So I always tell our guys, it's not rocket science, it's wrestling.
And Coach, take us back to your origin with the sport of wrestling. Just where kind of you know, fell in love with the sport, kind of developed that passion that kind of made you want to make wrestling just not only a sport you competed in, but, you know, your life.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously growing up, I had a lot of success at different levels. When I was younger, I was, you know, pretty good. My wife didn't know this. I was telling her the other day that when I was 12, I won the Tournament of Champions, which was like just starting out. Now it's just like huge deal. But I won a pretty big bracket and was voted outstanding wrestler in my age group at the time. So I showed some pretty good early promise, you know, at 10, 11, 12 years old. And then in high school, was in the state finals right away as a freshman. But I played other sports as well. I ran and I played football, and I was pretty competitive in those as well. But I was really excelling at wrestling, and I'm really competitive just by nature. Like, I have trouble letting my kids win board games. My wife yells at me. my 8-year-old likes to play basketball. I beat him in one-on-one the other day, and you know, he was so mad he threw the ball at the back of my head. So he's about as competitive as I am. And my wife's like, what's wrong with you? Why won't you let him win? And I'm like, well, no, he's got to earn it. And she's like, he's 8. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not how you develop competitiveness. You don't just give people things. So I think I gravitated towards wrestling because I won the most there and I could control my own outcome. Where in those other sports I needed to rely on other people, especially in football. And I think when I was younger, I was really selfish. And so I, you know, gravitated towards wrestling. And then in college, you know, I got a, you know, scholarship, and in college I was going and doing my thing. And but then I got injured right away. I started right away, and then I was injured, and I wrestled hurt most of my second year. And they didn't realize how hurt I was, and I wrestled on a bad hip. And I had to have hip surgery right after the season. And I redshirted that year. And then I hurt my other hip, actually. Had this very similar injury to what Andy Murray just had done. And he continued to play on his and ended up having to have his hip replaced. But anyways, so I had both those hip surgeries done my third year in college, and was on the shelf for, you know, 8 months of it, and spent a lot of time in the room rehabbing and being around the coaches, and was just like, I got a different appreciation for the sport, I think, because I got it taken away from me. And then I saw the lifestyle those guys live and how close they were with each other, Tim Flynn and Lou Roselli, and was like, man, it'd be really cool to do this. And you know, be in a room every day with young kids and helping them, and be working with guys that you really respect and are like-minded. And, you know, I think this is something I could want to do, and started really talking to Tim about it. And I was like, I think I'm going to switch my major from business to something more applicable to coaching. And Tim was like, no, I got a business degree and went on to get an MBA, and college athletics is, you know, becoming more business-minded. You know, this was 15 years ago now. He was like, I think that's the direction sports is going. And he's like, I think you should stay in business. And so I did. And I switched my major from marketing to finance, and I got both. I double majored. I got a math minor and then started an MBA right after college, all with the idea that I wanted to be a head wrestling coach. And so that redshirt year really kind of changed my perspective on the sport from being like, I wrestle because I'm good and I wrestle because I'm selfish and I wrestle because I like to win, to I really appreciate the sport. I love what I get to do. I want to help other people do it as well. So that redshirt year was really transformational for me on the wrestling mat and in my personal life. So my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, we broke up partly because I was a selfish, you know what? And I kind of had to figure, you know, myself out a little bit. It was the best thing that probably happened to me. I think, you know, God gave me a big stop sign that said, hey, it's time to grow up, little boy. And at least I was smart enough to read it and get on track. So the rest is history.
Growing up as a wrestler, who were some of your heroes? Who did you look up to? Obviously from Missouri, wrestled at Edinburgh, which some people, that's a small school in Northwestern PA that's so good at this sport. Who were some of your heroes and who did you look up to?
Yeah, so growing up, I had two really favorite wrestlers. Besides John Smith, I was a big John Smith fan. But there was two guys at the time when I was like coming of age. One was at Iowa. His name was Lincoln McAravey. He was a three-time NCAA champ. And then the other one was Sanshiro Abe. He was a Japanese guy at Penn State who was a national champ, four-time All-American. Both those guys were super slick, changed directions, changed levels. And so did, you know, obviously Coach Smith. And so I really emulated my wrestling after them. I was fortunate. I was blessed with some speed and some ability to change directions. And really started to watch those guys closely and started trying to build my game after what those guys were doing. And as I grew then, I was able to continue to wrestle like that. I had a very unique style for my body shape. And one that I think you see emulated a lot more now. With bigger guys. I think bigger guys 20 years ago wrestled, you know, from a heavy tie and from control ties and a slower pace. Guys today that are bigger are not. They're wrestling from space and they're changing directions at a higher pace. And I was kind of on the front end of that. So, but that was heavily influenced by those three guys.
Coach, you're a part of some incredible teams at Mizzou as associate head coach, top 10 finishes, all Americans all across the board. What were some of the keys to the consistency and success there? And what kind of did you take from that experience just, you know, coaching at the highest of the highest level in college wrestling to bring with you to Maryland?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One was, you know, we did a really good job after I got there of locking the borders down. I think Brian had some success of keeping kids in state, but there were several kids that got away too, and I was one of them. I probably could have helped his trajectory if I had stayed home. I think they would have won the Nationals my senior year in Detroit. They were third. They would have won with my points. We really sat down and I said, hey, I want to lock the borders down. We need to keep all the best kids home. And we did that. All but one guy got away, and that one guy actually was never an All-American where he chose to go to school, and we had an All-American every year at his weight class. So I think that was really big for us. And then you hit the nail on the head, just the consistency piece, being really consistent with your work and understanding that you don't have to go like, you know, crazy all summer. You don't have to go crazy all spring. You don't have to go crazy all fall, but you got to go. And you got to be willing to stay in the summer. You got to be willing to get up in the spring and get up in the fall and go 2-a-days and really, you know, give up some Saturdays and put your work in and put your time in. And so we, you know, really did a lot of work and collectively as a unit, even during those volunteer times. Brian's done a really good job of building a culture at Missouri. You know, it's called Tiger Style. So just, you know, helped him kind of take that to the next level. Those two areas. And then the other thing is just trying to make sure the guys understand that, you know, through that work that you still have to go out and compete. You know, I referenced that earlier. The work doesn't mean you're going to win. The work means you have an opportunity to win. And so when it's time to compete and you got to toe that line and shake hands, you better be ready to throw down. And, you know, wrestling's as close to a fight as you can get in college athletics. I don't think there's anything else that embodies, you know, just a fist fight or a street fight other than, you know, collegiate wrestling. So you look at, you know, the success of in MMA throughout the history of MMA, but even right now in the Bellator and in the UFC, every one of the champs or number one contenders has a, you know, college wrestling background. So the guys at the highest level, man, they fight like hell. And so we've got to do, I think, a little better job of that. Our kids need to understand that a little better, and they're figuring it out, and we will. So I think those three things, for sure, I got from Brian at Missouri. But when I was a part of some really good teams at Virginia as well, and got to be around Troy Steiner and Jim Zaleski at Oregon State, a couple legends. And then even at Edinburgh, we were eighth and ninth my junior and senior year. So I've been really fortunate and blessed to just to be around some really good leaders in the sport and some really successful people and teams. And I'm fortunate for that. And so I've taken things from everywhere. And that's what we, you know, we're utilizing. I think hopefully the best from every place. And, you know, 5-6 years from now, we're going to look back and say, yeah, that plan's even better than what other people are doing. And that's why we're having the success we're having.
Certainly some good MMA guys coming out of Missouri, Tyron Woodley, Ben Askren, and some of those different guys. It feels like that sport has kind of changed the trajectory of what wrestlers feel like they can do from a professional standpoint. And you kind of were in college as the MMA was sort of exploding, and now it has become what it is. How have you sort of seen that sport change almost how wrestling kind of acts in, as a feeder to that, as you talk about so many of the great guys in MMA have their base in collegiate wrestling?
Yeah, you know what's crazy is, so when I was at Edinburgh, that was kind of when UFC was like really emerging. You know, the first season of The Ultimate Fighter was almost won by an Edinburgh guy, Josh Koscheck.
Yeah.
He lost in the finals to Diego Sanchez. I think if they'd have fought 6 months later, Koscheck would have crushed him. He's just a better athlete. He was kind of figuring out fighting. You know, Josh had crazy success. I mean, he fought for the title. He fought St. Pierre. I mean, he was one of the, you know, pioneers with Chuck Liddell and, you know, some of those other, you know, like I already referenced St. Pierre. So Edinburgh's had some really good success in MMA as well. And then, you know, you referenced a couple guys at Missouri, but, you know, you didn't say Michael Chandler, who's been the Bellator champ. Would probably be Bellator champ again if this hadn't happened. I think was supposed to fight for the title again. So, I think wrestling, just the work ethic, the toughness, the cutting weight aspect, and then how tough collegiate wrestling is on your body and on your mind. I think your capacity to handle adversity. There's no place, there's no better training ground for that than collegiate wrestling. And people in other sports can say, we can develop people for, you know, life and for struggle. And yeah, you probably can. You probably do. But I don't think there's any place that's more equipped to developing people to handle adversity than collegiate wrestling. You look at how many CEOs have wrestling backgrounds. You look at how many SEALs have wrestling backgrounds. Again, MMA fighters. It's pretty impressive just how successful post-collegiate wrestlers are in the world. And that's in anything. So yeah, it's been really exciting. I wish UFC and Bellator would have been a little more established when I was coming out of college, because I probably would have fought. I did an amateur fight right out of college, and I was just like, this is cheesy and stupid, and it just wasn't what it is today. It didn't have the validity. It didn't have the traction, the money, the TV, the endorsements. It's just, you know, completely different game. So I'm a little jealous of that these guys have that opportunity. But also at the same time, super happy for them, because, it's a great way to still compete and to put all your, you know, hard work from college to use, other than making an Olympic and a world team, which really only, you know, one guy at each weight can do. Where, you know, so in wrestling, if you go the world or Olympic route, only a couple of guys at each weight can make a living, like a sustainable living wrestling. Where in the MMA, you can have 3, 4, 5, 6 guys at every weight class making, you know, sound wages and saving money and having a, you know, career and being able to support a family. And so I think it's great from that aspect.
So we missed out on the Alec Clemson fighting career then, is what you're telling us.
Yeah, probably. I trained out of the Bizarro Boxing Gym in Erie, started by a guy named John Bizarro, who fought Roberto Duran for a title, actually in the Philippines. He was winning the fight until the 13th round, got knocked out. And then, you know, his sons fought as well. And so his son-in-law trained me. His name was Big John Hynoski. He was actually, it's crazy, he was Sylvester Stallone's arm wrestling trainer in the movie Over the Top.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's you know, in the credits and everything. But he was a world champ arm wrestler. But I think, you know, if you were in the Bizarro family, you boxed. And he won, you know, several professional fights, like regional and local fights in boxing, and had a wrestling background, was a Pennsylvania state champ. And so that's why I went to boxing for up in Erie. And, I wanted to be able to protect myself more than anything. But I was like, yeah, as long as I don't get knocked out and I can double leg a guy, I'll get on top of them all. And, you know, that'll be that. And sure enough, that's how the fight went. And it was, you know, like I said, it was awesome, but it wasn't what it is today. And I was like, you know, it's kind of like more of a circus. And I was like, I don't think, you know, that's what I want to do. I want it a little more professional. And so I got right into coaching. But yeah, I think if I was coming out of college today, I would either fight or do CrossFit. So.
Now, talking about Maryland, you come in as a first-year coach. We just had Mark Montgomery on this show a couple of weeks ago and just talked to him about just what he's enjoyed about the area and the university in general. Since you've been here, what have you enjoyed about Maryland and the university, the culture within the athletics department, things like that?
Well, obviously, you know, the school itself, you know, just speaks for itself. It was a huge attraction for me. Being able to coach the best and the brightest kids, that was a big thing. And it's something I really enjoy at Maryland, being able to coach really intelligent and astute young people. They learn, my guys learn so fast. You know, we can cover a lot of technique and can really get into some minutiae, where these guys can really develop some intricacies in their technique. So that's awesome. As far as the area goes, unfortunately, I haven't been able to really get out into it as much as I would like. You know, we moved late and then we had the recruiting and the season, but we've been into DC a couple times, which is awesome. My kids love, actually, it's weird, they like going to museums. So we'll, you know, probably do some more museum stuff and get to Smithsonian's, and we've been to the Lincoln Memorial. We'll probably, you know, hit up Jefferson and Washington and just make some day trips as, you know, we get back to our, not our new normal, but our old normal, hopefully. And we're big sports fans. So, you know, you have so many pro teams that you can go watch. And, you know, my Cubs will come to town every year to the Nats Stadium, and our Chiefs play this year in Baltimore. So we'll probably, anybody out there listening, got hook up on Baltimore tickets. I'd love to go see the Ravens-Chiefs game this year. So holler at your boy. But so we'll probably take advantage of stuff like that. And then just, you know, just the vibe and being close to mountains. We went snow skiing once this year, being close to the beach. We'll probably get to Delaware at some point this summer. It's a cool area to live in. So I'm excited for some of the things that we haven't gotten to do that, you know, we've talked about as a family, when this all gets kind of back on track.
We'll end you here on a little bit of rapid fire, Coach. First, the show you're watching right now, during quarantine.
Gosh, we watch so much stuff. We're back on my wife and I, Nightfall just came out with a new season, so we're on to that. And then our kids, we started Letter from the King or to the King on Netflix. So I think we're on that. We've been crushing Masked Singer and The Voice. So we've been watching too much TV.
I would say you're all over the map right there. Yeah.
Coach, you had a Keep Your Shell Well video that was posted to umterps.com this week, and you mentioned you have implemented a penny push-up, dime pull-up, body weight exercise challenge for your kids. Have they bankrupted you yet, or are you still holding strong here?
No, unfortunately, I wish they have bankrupted me, but they've slacked a little bit lately. But I think I owed my son like $5 the other day, and he cashed it in for Robux. So, no, I wish. I'm definitely leading the charge in the push-ups and pull-ups. I should make everybody pay me.
The money's got to come back the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
the activity right now you're using to fight off boredom besides watching TV?
Well, I told you the honey-do list, right? I mean, my wife has given me a bunch of those. But we've been to a lot of family stuff, bike rides and walks. It's been great. And then we opened our pool. So I'm really excited for the weather to turn and us to be able to get in the pool.
Coolest place wrestling has taken you?
Coolest place wrestling's taken me? Probably New York City, Madison Square Garden. I mean, that's like, you think about championship atmosphere and all the great things that have happened. Yeah.
And then finally, we normally ask people what their favorite place to eat in College Park is, but obviously we're not in College Park right now. So we will go with your favorite home-cooked meal.
Okay, favorite home-cooked meal. My wife, when she makes her homemade fettuccine sauce, it's probably that. She just doesn't make it very often. But she does, we do Taco Tuesdays, and my whole family, we crush that. You know, we make some margaritas, and we crush some really good tacos. But I will give you my favorite place in College Park. It's got to be Marathon, you know?
I
can't afford – my waistline just can't afford to eat it all the time. But that's my favorite, like, local College Park spot other than Mama Lucia's.
What is your go-to order at Marathon?
Probably a Hero and Marathon fries.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. You can never go wrong with that. That now makes me just want to drive down there and get that right now. It's been way too long since we've been in College Park to have that. Coach Alex Clemson, thanks so much for coming on the show. Stay safe in quarantine. Hopefully the kids get on the pull-ups and push-ups a little bit more. Can't wait to get wrestling back in College Park as we head back in towards the winter of 2020 and get your guys' program back on track. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. Stay safe and go Terps.
Thanks, Coach.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. And Keith, maybe we should institute the penny push-up, dime pull-up situation.
Listen, you read my mind, Taylor. You know, we kind of get a little back and forth. You know, whoever has the least amount pays the other person, kind of deal. I don't know how we police that, because we'd have to kind of be a little bit on the honor system since we're not living together or in the same
quarters. We are not.
But we'd have to figure that one out.
Now, we do have to say that we are doing the your creation, the What Did You Do Challenge,
among
some of the members of our staff from running.
Yeah.
I am currently last in that, but I'm just not much of a runner. But
it can be anything.
It was in general fitness. I'm doing some swimming and different other things. But you have become a great running. But our colleague Sean Ellenby is running like hundreds of miles. Ben Kessler running a ton of, our former colleague Jake Spitz, a big wrestling man himself, also running a lot.
Claire Gilmore shooting up the
shooting up the
rankings.
Does marking around?
She's getting miles
Brown,
in day after day.
Yes. So we do have some precedent. So maybe we can incorporate that Coach Clemson's thing into our What Did You Do Challenge. Was very interesting, and also just listening to him, and I said it before the interview, just trying to establish that culture. And that's something we talked about with Mark Montgomery a few weeks ago. And it's something that always fascinates me is what steps a coach takes to come in and kind of bring their mentality, the pillars of their program, and how they want to turn this around. Because, you know, Coach Clemson's got a little bit of a blank slate here starting out, and obviously has an uphill battle against the rest of the Big Ten, but seems to have the ingredients to get there. So that will be fun to watch over the next few weeks. And wrestling's awesome. Like, it really is. Like, it's a great sport. It's fun to watch. Hopefully more Maryland fans can get into it as Coach Clemson makes the program more competitive.
I'll tell you what, very underrated around March Madness is you've got the basketball on one TV, you've got the wrestling on the other, or you've got the stream up of one of them, and then the basketball on the other TV or whatever. There's some really exciting moments in those tournaments, which again, you mentioned at the top that we've said on this podcast many times.
And unfortunately, that was going to be at the Vikings US Bank Stadium in Minneapolis.
That's right. Now,
the finals were going to be in front of 70,000 people, which would have been absolutely insane if you know anything about that wrestling championships. The crowd is rowdy of all the sections with all the different, your Penn State section, your Wisconsin section, your Nebraska, whatever it is. that would have been absolutely ridiculous. The Minnesota fans would have been out. We haven't mentioned them. They're a historically great wrestling school in the Big Ten. So that would have been very, very cool. But unfortunately, obviously sports all canceled. Hopefully looking towards sports coming back. Some of that stuff starting to come out with some of the pro leagues getting back into it. And as Coach Clemson mentioned, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football being allowed to start some voluntary activities at the beginning of June. So hopefully that's a route back this situation continues to unfold. For sports to return. But that is enough for this week on Hear the Turtles. Thank you so much to Alex Clemson for giving us a lot of his time and can't wait to see what he does with the Maryland wrestling program as we move forward. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. You want to follow Maryland wrestling? Follow Turks Wrestling and our guy Hunter Dortenzo pumping out the content about Coach Clemson and the boys as they head towards his second season. Follow Keith, Sned311. Maybe there'll be some penny and dime pull-up, push-up stuff on there.
Maybe
not. We'll see.
No promises.
Yeah, no promises there. Taylor Smite 10 for me, and we will see you next week on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Good Terps.